Welcome to the Chapel Podcast from Start College and Seminary. This semester, our chapel theme is the business of the church, preaching Jesus and practicing justice. We invite you to listen in as pastors and leaders consider how God has called us all to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with Him. Our speaker this week is Dr. Becky Jackson, pastor of Northwest Baptist Church in Ardmore, Oklahoma. Her message is entitled, What Do We Do Now?
Greetings from Ardmore, Oklahoma. President Salelli, Mrs. Salelli, professors, administrators, staff, and students, it is a joy to be invited back to preach at Stark College and Seminary. Thank you, Pastor Tarver, for the invitation to preach today. I wish I could be there with you all in person, as your chapel is the first place that God ever used me to preach the gospel. Students, I began where you are today, pursuing God's call on my life. And I'm so grateful that God used my Stark familia to help me fully respond to that call. Theologian Karl Barth famously said that the key to a Christian life is to hold the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other, all the time asking, Lord, what do we do now? Lord, what do we do now? Indeed, our Lord himself models this practice in Luke chapter 13, verses 1 through 5, when he relates current events to the coming of God's kingdom. If ever a time called for this holy practice, it is now. Micah makes it sound so simple. What doth the Lord require of you but to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with thy God? But if you are in touch with social media at all, you know that even Christians cannot agree on what justice looks like, or if there is such a thing as too much mercy. And humility? Well, that is seldom seen on Twitter, Facebook, or Snapchat. I do not pretend to know everything that God would have us do. I do not claim to understand all of Scripture. What I do know is that God gave us the Holy Spirit and Scripture so that as we follow Jesus, we continue to learn and grow to be more like Him until God takes us home. And if we are all intent on becoming more like Jesus, justice, mercy, and humbleness will surely follow. Let's look at a passage of Scripture, a story of Jesus that most of us learned as children, and ask God to speak to us, to challenge all of us today and in the days ahead to be true disciples of Jesus, to talk with Jesus about everything, and to see our world through His eyes of mercy and compassion, and ask what He would have us do. I'll be reading from Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37, which includes Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan. I'll be reading from the New International Version. Luke chapter 10, verses 25 through 37. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law, he replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you will live. but he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" In reply, Jesus said, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. 'Look after him,' he said, 'and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, "Go and do likewise." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As a child, I learned this passage as a story about good little Christians, and I viewed myself as a good Samaritan. At least I thought the point of the story was to tell me that I should be the good Samaritan. Perhaps you did as well. Let's remember the context in which Jesus shared the story to see if we can't get at the heart of Jesus' reason for telling it. The Jews are God's chosen people. They are awaiting a Messiah, and because of their devout but mistaken reading of the law and prophets, they expect this Messiah to be a political, militaristic hero who will set things straight and elevate the nation to its rightful place, out from under the rule and control of Rome. Only, Jesus never came to restore the nation. He came to offer salvation to the whole world. So when Jesus describes a Jew, this pitiful man savaged by robbers, lying in a ditch, and 2 Jewish religious leaders passing by, this doesn't sit well at all with his audience. Israel is ravaged and her religion is impotent. But oh my goodness, when he makes the good guy a Samaritan, a Gentile, that was radical. No wonder they killed him. So perhaps if this story doesn't irritate us, we aren't reading it correctly. Maybe we need to go back and read it as the good fundamentalist or the good liberal or the good conservative or the good protester. So what would we religious folk, who more accurately take the place of the Levite or the priest than the Samaritan in this story, what would we say to someone who gets clobbered and left for dead? Of course, we all want to say, we'd help. We'd pool our money and get that guy to a doctor post haste. And yet, I think we might find ourselves saying, well, what was he doing on that road anyway? Doesn't she know better than to go there that late at night? Nothing good ever happens after 10 p.m. She was asking for it. I'm sure he was up to no good. Oh, we've heard of that guy. He has a rap sheet a mile long. Lawbreaker, hoodlum, thug, you got what you deserve. But Jesus doesn't give us any backstory on the half-dead guy, because it doesn't matter why he was there or what he was up to. Jesus tells this story to show us the true nature of our hearts, to reveal whether we are willing to be helped by or learn from those we disdain. Because only then will we be willing to respond rightly to those who are broken and left for dead. I thank God for the diversity of Stark. But for a moment, let me bring a word to my fellow white American evangelicals. Jesus did not die on the cross to preserve the American way of life. The prayer, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," is not about American exceptionalism. No, "Thy kingdom come" stares intently toward the future, when a great multitude that no one can count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, cries out, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." When our primary concern is the economy rather than the lives of individuals, we have misunderstood what it means to follow Jesus. When we are more offended at a man kneeling during the national anthem than we are when a man kneels on the neck of another man until he dies, we have misunderstood what it means to follow Jesus. To misunderstand what it means to follow Jesus is the best spin that we can put on it. Have we really misunderstood? Or are we just defying him? No, Jesus, I won't do that. You can't have my 401k. Oh, don't let those people move into my neighborhood. Don't take away my place or my position or the respect others have for me. Friends, Jesus followers, are you willing to consider how God would have us right 400 years of wrong? Are you willing not just to be friendly with people who don't look like you, but to listen to their grievances, to ask forgiveness, and then to use whatever influence you have to address, root out, destroy the systemic structures skewed against them, and to make sure that no new skewed structures are set up once these are torn down? Who is the Good Samaritan today? Honestly, I think it may be the atheists and agnostics that we know. While we're debating about the hurt man ending up in the ditch, they're screaming at us, "Hey, dude's in a ditch." Sometimes people who don't share our faith are able to see racial injustice better than we do and admit that they have benefited from the subjugation of an entire people. They are willing to cross the road, waste their time, find help, and pay for it. I'll tell you what unbelievers cannot see. They cannot see a united front from Christians who care enough to do something. They cannot see that we love one another, and far too often they cannot see the love of God in us. Micah 6:8, he has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. This is a hard word for us today. And it is for us because I do not presume to think that God has yet rooted out all the racism in my heart. But oh, I want him to. I want him to reveal the depravity of my own heart so that I can repent, so that I can become part of the solution rather than one who continues to perpetuate the problem. The expert in the law wanted to justify himself. He was in an elite class that stood to lose a great deal if Israel lost its precarious status under the Roman Empire, and to gain a great deal if Messiah arose to establish a conservative Jewish state. Several weeks ago, Baptist ethicist David Gushee wrote a remarkable article about a new book called Protectors of Pluralism, Religious Minorities and the Rescue of Jews in the Low Countries During the Holocaust, by political scientist Robert Braun. After extensive research, even Braun's dissertation, he determined that during the reign of the Third Reich, local religious minorities across Holland and Belgium were more likely to save Jews than were local religious majorities. Jesus' parable shows us why. The haves, the folks in the elite crowd, seldom willingly forfeit their position, power, or possessions in order to rescue the have-nots. Perhaps the Samaritan, as an outcast, felt he had less to lose by helping the wounded man. Perhaps it's only by losing our place of privilege in a Christian nation that we can gain the freedom for radical love. How are you responding to the turmoil in our country right now? Are you more concerned about losing what you have than you are about lifting up the oppressed, the outcast, the other, your neighbor? Students, I pray that as you prepare and serve in ministry, you continue to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ every time you teach or preach. Here is the gospel. God loves you. No matter what you've done, God loves you. He loves me, a sinner. He loves us so much that he was willing to send Jesus to die for us, and Jesus willingly gave his life for each one of us. Yes, all you have to do is say yes to Jesus, and he will forgive you. He will save you. But following Jesus means a lifetime of discipleship, studying what is going on in the world about you, talking with Jesus daily, reading scripture, taking up your cross, laying down your life, and always asking, what do you want me to do now, Lord? What do you want me to do now? So I present you with the question, what does Jesus want you to do now? Oh Lord God, our Father, don't let us be satisfied until you have finished the work of making us like Jesus Christ, so that the world, every nation, all tribes, peoples, and tongues can know your love through Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Chapel Podcast from Stark College and Seminary. Stark College and Seminary prepares men and women to serve in the church and community all across South Texas, with teaching locations in Corpus Christi, McAllen, Victoria, and San Antonio. To learn more about us, you can visit stark.edu or find us on social media at Stark College.